right. Good morning to everybody. You know, I just got to say this. I thought about it earlier there. You know, the greatest love story ever told was not Romeo and Juliet. It wasn't the royal family over in England. It wasn't even the Kardashians. The greatest love story ever told was God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son. Isn't that awesome? I mean, isn't that awesome? I think about that, and I think about how he loved me when I was unlovable. He loved me. He loved you when you were unlovable, whether you know it or not. Because if you're saved here today, thank God for his love and for his grace and for his mercy upon you. I mean, you may be spinning your wheels. I don't know. I don't know everybody's heart here this morning. There's a little road across from us. Greg knows. I think it's Brush Run or something like that. It's just right across from us. Anyway, this ice, when you pull up to it, there's ice right there, and it's got like a little grade, a little slant where you come up on Medina. And I've seen car after car and truck after truck try to pull right up there and stop, like you're supposed to do, and then try to come on out. Well, they just sit there and spin. And they'll sit there and spin until either they get enough grip until it comes out, or they'll have to back up and get a run for it. And I was thinking there yesterday, you know, I seen a car pull up there. It was a boy and a girl. And they were sitting there, and they were just spinning and spinning and spinning. I said, I better get my coat on, go over and see if I can help, you know. So about that time, I got my coat on. Well, he jumps out, and he grabs a mat out of the car, and he throws it down. Doesn't do anything except throw the mat out the backside. So I'm trying to get ready, but I was thinking, there they are, just spinning their wheels. And finally, the car took off and got out of there. But I thought myself, you know what? A little bit of salt would have helped a bunch right there on that, right? There's people out there spinning their wheels, not knowing what to do. We are the salt. We are the salt that's needed. And if just for them to understand that they don't have to spin their wheels no more like that. In this world that we live in, you get what I'm saying this morning? It's like it said, you can see God in everything if you want to see him in it. We can do that, absolutely. You know, this is Valentine's Day, and I know you're going to just... The title of my sermon this morning is Haters Has Gotta Hate. that's the title that I put on this morning. I'm going to be in some different places this morning if you want to read along with me. I'm going to be in Romans 1:18 and 1:30. Just this couple verses there, and it's not what I'm going to get into there. Then I'm going to be over in Psalms 1 and Psalms 2, where the majority of the sermon is going to come from here today. But once you get to Romans 1:18 and 30, let's stand in honor of God's word, please, and we'll read it together. We'll read it together. Be with me here this morning. Thank God for all of you that's out here this morning and made your way out. Thank you. For the wrath of God is revealed from heaven against all ungodliness and unrighteousness of men who hold the truth in unrighteousness. Then if you skip down to verse 30, backbiters, and this is what I'm going to concentrate it on, haters of God, despiteful, proud boasters, inventor of evil things, and disobedient to parents. And let us pray. Father, as we come, Lord, this morning, I come with nothing but thanksgiving in my heart, Lord. I want to thank you, Father, for your mercy, for your grace, and for your love. I thank you, Father, so much this morning for how you've allowed those to come out here today, Lord, and to gather, Lord. I pray, Father, that the message would go out in the way that you would have it to go out. I pray, Father, that the anointing would be upon my lips this morning, Lord, and thank you and give you the praise, for you are the one that deserves it. In Jesus' name we pray, and amen. You may be seated, and thank you. I'm going to go ahead and read Psalms 1. I'm going to be over, like I said, I'm going to be over the majority of it over there. Psalms 1, 1 through 3. Blessed is a man that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor standeth in the way of the sinner, nor sitteth in the seat of the scornful. But his delight is in the law of the Lord, and in his law doeth he meditate day and night. And he shall be like a tree planted by the rivers of water, where that bringeth forth his fruit in his season. His leaf also shall not wither. Whatsoever he doeth shall prosper. Just a little side note here that I know my wife knows this, and I probably have mentioned this here before. This is the first sermon I've ever preached in my life was right here in Psalms 1. It's just something that the Lord had impressed upon me years ago, many years ago. Then over, let's drop down over to Psalms 2, and it says this, and I'm going to read down a few verses here. Why do the heathen rage and the people imagine a vain thing? The kings of the earth set themselves and the rulers take counsel together against the Lord and against his anointed, saying, let us break their bonds asunder, cast away their cords from us. He that setteth in the heavens shall laugh. The Lord shall have them in derision. Then shall he speak unto them in his wrath and vex them in his sore displeasure. Like I said, I've titled my sermon this morning, Haters Have Gotta Hate. And haters are going to hate. Hate, and I want to read you a little description of it before I go any farther. I wrote it down. I don't know whether it's out of what dictionary it's out of, but it says, hate is a feeling of intense or passionate dislike for someone or something. Folks, there is a hatred for God in this world today throughout it. I'm just telling you, and I'll prove my point here shortly. Folks, and it didn't just start the last few years or the last few months or the last few weeks. It has been ongoing ever since they fell in the Garden of Eden, ever since Adam and Eve fell. But it's been intensifying with each passing decade since then. Romans 1:18 says, for the wrath of God is revealed. It is revealed, why? Because of what Paul tells us in the rest of chapter 1. And I'm, like I said, I'm not getting into everything else. I've preached a lot out of those chapters the last few years. I'm not getting into any of that. But what I want to talk to you about is one thing that is mentioned there is haters of God. They said after all this stuff, and it come through to it, is that verse 30, it said, and one of the things they're talking about is, in Romans 1:30, it said, there's haters of God. Now let me ask you a question here this morning, any of you. Have you ever felt disrespected? Have you ever felt like you've been let down by somebody or been hurt by someone that you deeply love? Have you ever felt that? Yeah, I have. And I'm sure if you're honest, you felt that way as well. Now let me ask you, if you've been that way, how did it make you feel? How did it make you feel? And maybe that person today, maybe you still know that person today, and they don't like you. Maybe there's nothing, they have nothing to do with you. Maybe, even though you've never done anything to them. And I'm laying this out there. And maybe you've never done a thing to them in your mind. You've never done anything. But yet, they still just don't like you for whatever reason it is. But you love them as much as you could love them with all your heart. But that's basically, they basically turned their back on you. They basically just spit in your face. I know that sounds gross, but they basically just did that. If you've ever experienced that in any form, again, let me ask you, how did it make you feel? I venture to say it wasn't particularly good, right? I've experienced that sometimes in my past as well. And it didn't make me feel very good. But let me bring it down to you. So how do you think God feels? How do you think God feels when he sees his creation, when he sees humankind, when he sees them do the same thing to him? And probably a whole lot worse if you really want to get down to it. In the first part of 1 John 3:1, the Bible tells us, behold, what manner of love has the Father bestowed on us that we should be called the sons of God. He has laid out awesome love for everybody. He's laid out a love that we can't even comprehend. To make us a way that you and I could know that he loved us by sending his son to this earth to die for us. He's done that. God so loved the world so much, it says, that he wants us to have fellowship with him. And he even made a way to do that. But yet people have turned their back on that. They have. I mean, I look in this church here today, and I see all kinds of people that probably understand the love of God and probably understand that God had made that way. But folks, there are countless millions out there, countless of them, who have no idea and do not care to know that God loved them so much and made a way. And they have not only turned their back on Him, but can I tell you something this morning that I believe? I believe that they hate God. I believe that some of them just absolutely have a deep hatred for God. Pastor, hate is strong, and I understand that. If I say that to you more, but let me point back to the definition of hate again. A feeling of intense or passionate dislike for someone or something. Can you not see that today as we look out there in this world? They have a passionate dislike for the things of God. They have a passionate dislike for God and for the children of God. They have that. 1 John 3:15, whosoever hateth his brother is a murderer. That's what it says. And ye know that no murderer has eternal life abiding in him. But doesn't that say anything about hating God. But listen to 1 John 4:20. If a man say, I love God and hateth his brother, he is a liar. For he that loveth not his brother whom he has seen, how can he love God whom he has not seen? Boy, he laid it out there pretty blunt, didn't he? Again, let's look at that. If you say that you love God, yet you have hate or something for some other human being, the Bible's saying you're a liar. Man, that's pretty strong, but it's not Dave Long telling you that again. I say this all the time. It is the Word of God. You cannot take those two apart. It is intertwined together. Intertwined together. If you have hate in your heart, someone you have has hate in your heart, you hate God as well. And that's what it's saying. That's why I'm saying hating God is very prevalent out there in this world today. And that's talking about a set of brother there. That's what I was talking about. I'm telling you, this is pretty rough. What about all the hate that's going on out here in the world today? If you look at the first two chapters of the book of Psalms, which I just read to you there a little bit ago, it is an introduction, if you really want to look at it, into the rest of Psalms. You take that, you see, we see the focus shifts from Psalms 1 from an individual. Did you notice that? In Psalms 1, it's talking about the individual. Well, if you get into Psalms 2, it's talking about the nations. It's talking about all the people of these nations. And we see that it focus shifts. In Psalms 1 and 3, it locks it down like that. It's talking about an individual's relationship with God. I remember when I first preached on that, man, I'll tell you, you're going to like this. When I would first preach, and I told this here before, I might preach 10 minutes if you was lucky. Some of you might like that. or maybe even 5 minutes, I don't know. But I didn't preach very long. But down through the years, God has showed me more. And as I take down more and more notes on it, I'm telling you, it's dealing with the individual. Blessed is a man that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor setteth in the way of the sinner, nor setteth in the seat of the scornful. Man, I'll tell you, if you're born again here this morning, you are a blessed person. You're blessed. Listen, Psalms 2 deals with the nations and the people collectively that make up that nation. And pray God, as Christians, we're part of nations. We're part of this one. And we make up this nation. This shows us something about an omnipotent and omnipresent God, does it not? He not only cares about a nation, but Greg, he cares about you one-on-one. Doesn't that tell you something about the God we serve? He cares about so much. He loves so much that he got it right down to the individual that he loves us. It shows that in 1 Peter 5:7, casting all your cares upon him. For why? Because he careth for you. He loves you. Even though there's a lot of people out there that hate him, he still loves them. I've said this before. Linda's mentioned it before after I've said it, but it is the truth. People have died and went to hell, and God loved them. He loved them. He never wanted them to go there. He didn't want them to be there. He made the way. He loved them. Those people did not realize that when they opened up their eyes in hell that God loved them. He does care if you're hurting mentally. He does care if you're hurting physically. He does care if you're hurting spiritually. Absolutely, he does. He's concerned with the small things in your life as well as the big things in your life. I love Matthew 10, 29, and 31. I love that. I know you, and you guys know all this scripture, but are not two sparrows sold for, and this is the NIV, are not two sparrows sold for a penny? Yet not one of them will fall to the ground outside of your Father's care. This is Jesus talking. And even the very hairs of your head are numbered, so don't be afraid, you are worth more than many sparrows. Isn't that awesome? I see the birds flock at our bird feeders down at the house down there, and all of them come in, and the different ones like that. And I think about this scripture, and I think that God says, are you not worth more than all of those out there combined? And yet he loved them too, but he loves us even more. No detail in your life gets away from him, gets out of his concern, gets out of his vision. Every detail in your life does that. That's why I believe God wants us as individuals to look outside of our own little worlds. That's why I believe God wants us to do that. We get so focused sometimes on just our little world, our family. And I understand that. I've been there. I know that. But can I tell you something this morning? God's wanting us to look outside that box once in a while and see what's going on out here and to pay attention to what God not only is doing in our lives, but what he's doing around this world. In Psalms 2, Psalms 2 would have been, and I'll give you a little bit of information here about Psalms 2. Whenever a king in Israel was being sworn in, so to speak, they sung that psalm. That's what they would sing. And this is what they sung to them. And if we read this chapter this morning, keep that in mind as we go. That's not only for Israel back in the day, but that's what for us today as well. Amen. This is not only prophetic, but this, you know, this was back then, but it's also prophetic. And I'll be honest with you about that. Listen, and see how it applies to us today. See how this scripture applies. Whether we see it or not, Psalms 2 is that way. Why do the heathen rage and people imagine a vain thing? The kings of the earth set themselves up and the rulers take counsel against the Lord and against his anointed, saying, let us break their bonds asunder, cast away their cords from us, and he that setteth in the heavens shall laugh. The Lord shall have in them derisions. Then shall he speak unto them his wrath and vex them with sore displeasure. Yet I have set my king upon my holy hill of Zion. I will declare the decree the Lord has said unto me. Thou art my son, this day I have begotten thee. Ask of me, and I shall give thee the heathen for thy inheritance, and the uttermost parts of the earth for thy possession. Thou shalt break them with the rod of iron. Thou shalt dash them in pieces like a potter's vessel. Be wise now, therefore, O king, and be instructed. Ye be judges of the earth. Serve the Lord with fear and rejoice with trembling. Kiss the Son, lest ye be angry. Ye perish from the way when his wrath is kindled, but a little. Blessed are they that put their trust in him. Put your trust in him. You bring this up to the New Testament era. It's what I'm going to try to do here today. We can understand this has a much deeper meaning. Absolutely. It has a much deeper meaning to all of us here this morning. This is talking about all of humanity here. Put that into context. Why do the heathen rage? Well, Why does it say that the people imagine vain things? Now, we can talk about Mao, we can talk about Stalin, and we can talk about Hitler. We can talk about a lot of different things out there. But this is why. Because these people, why do the heathen rage? Why do the people imagine vain things? Because they have such a hatred for God. Is why? Absolutely. This is talking about people today are not so innocent about this. They're not so passive about this. God, people in general hate God. And I said it earlier, I know you think, well, that's awful strong, but they do. Romans 8, 7, because the carnal mind is enmity against God, for it is not subject to the law of God, and neither indeed can be. They hate him. They hate what he stands for. They rage against him like they did back then. Why do the heathen rage? Why do they rage out here today? Why are they doing the things that they are doing out here today? It's because they hate what God stands for. There are even some that, you know, this is some of it's pretty blatant out there today. But can I tell you something? There's some of them that talk a good game. But inside, they have no idea what they're even talking about. Matthew 15, 8, the people draweth nigh to me with their mouth and honoreth me with their lips, but their hearts are far from me. They're far from me. Jesus said in John 7, 7, the world cannot hate you, but me it hateth because I testify of it, that the works thereof are evil. That's why they hate God. That's exactly what, folks, we dig into it in depth and spiritually and look into it with a spiritual eyes and all the atrocities that have happened in this world. How many of you know, have heard about the Rwandan Civil War? Have anybody ever heard about that? I know some of you in here have heard about it. This happened, I think, back in the mid-90s. But I want you to get a gist for how much people hate God. During that civil war, there was 800,000 human beings killed. 800,000. 400,000 women were raped. This is statistics you can look up. I want you to grasp that. That's how much people hate God. That's how much. God didn't intend for any of that to happen. God never wanted that to happen. All the crimes against humanity, all the things that have happened down through history, and you look at it, and you try to understand it, and you try to say in your mind, what is the center of this? And it's because man's heart is evil, and they hate God, and they don't want to listen to God, and they don't want to understand what God is about. Haters of God. Let us and listen to what also Psalms 2:3 says. Let us break their bonds, their bands asunder, and cast away their cords from us. People today do not want restraints on their lives. They don't. People today don't want restraints. They don't want any controls placed on their lives. It was the same in the psalmist's day, and it's the same today. People don't want restraints put on their lives. They don't want them to tell them, well, the Bible says, you know, that you can't do this, or the Bible says we shouldn't do that. They don't want that placed on their lives today. They'll tell you that's nonsense. I can live my life any way I want. They don't want restraints or any controls placed on it. Romans 1:28 says, and even as they did not like to retain God in their knowledge, God gave them over to a reprobate mind to do those things which were not convenient. Absolutely. Look around today. Look around. We see it. John 3:19. And this is the condemnation, that light is come into the world. But guess what? Men love darkness rather than light. Because their deeds were evil. People out here in this world love the darkness. Whenever the light is shined into the darkness, they don't like it because it reveals their sin. It reveals their sin nature to it. And they do not like that. That's why, brother, we should never be surprised at what goes on out here in the world. Even what the numbers I read to you about that civil war. It may shock you, but it should not surprise us, because man's depravity can go, has no bounds without God in it. None. Individuals have been rebelling against God since Adam and Eve fell in the garden. The nations have been coming against God ever since the Tower of Babel. Am I right? They said, let us build a tower to heaven. Let us do this. Let us do that. And God said, no, you're not. Because they were supposed to do something different than what they did. And that's why we have the different nations today. And that's why God wanted it that way. There was a very long track record concerning this back through the Bible, and we can see it. And as we look at this country today, as we look at the United States, see how far it has fallen in such a short period of time? Yes, we should be brokenhearted, but it should not surprise us. The Bible says that it will wax worse and worse. And he didn't just talk about the United States, he was talking about the world. And it is doing that today. Amen? It should break our hearts, but it should not surprise us. Christians, we should not be surprised by what's going on out here in this world. Although I don't see U.S. prophecy in the Bible, I know some people will say this and that. I see the scriptures more and more. I see the USA in the scriptures more and more with each passing day, though. Just like I see anything else, because we as a nation have fallen. Why do the heathen rage and the people imagine a vain thing? The kings of the earth set themselves up and the rulers take counsel together against the Lord and against his anointed, saying, let us break our bands asunder. Let us have free white rein. Let us break their bonds and cast away the cords from us. We don't want to be bound down to nothing. People don't want to be bound down to a God that created them, a God that loved them, a God that sent his son to this earth, whom they killed because they did not want to be bound down by anything that God has to say. It falls right in with the Bible. I say amen. It falls right in. There's an underlying hatred for God. Underlying hatred for God and anybody that is associated with him. Sometimes his hatred is blatant. It is blatant. Disobeying of parents, and we go fornication and adultery and lasciviousness and drunkenness, and I could go on and on and on. But sometimes it's in disguised as good living and living a good life. I know we say this around here. Living a good life doesn't get you to heaven. I want that understood right up front. You could be the best person that ever walked on the face of this earth. Without Jesus' blood applied to your life, you're dead and going to hell. Absolutely. Absolutely. Make no mistake about it. It's sin, and any sin that is not placed under the blood is rebellion against God, and you hate God. Rebellion against God, and you hate God. And whether you know it or not, sin that is not repented of is a hatred towards God. And you say, how's that? He that knoweth to do right and to doeth it not, to him it is sin. I say this, Hayward Gribble used to say this all the time, but sometimes whenever he'd finish preaching, he'd say this. We were in 14th Avenue in Parkersburg, but he'll always say, if I told you folks that tomorrow Belpre was going to be destroyed, and I knew it to be 100% for sure, Belpre was going to be destroyed tomorrow by a bomb or whatever, he said, and you went ahead and deliberately went over there, whose fault would it be? He said, I'm telling you, and he'd always say, I'm telling you now, if you do not accept Jesus as your Savior and you die and go out of this life, you're lost and undone and headed for a devil's hell. And he would preach that all the time. Because you have to warn the people. Christians, when we have been saved from that. As Christians, we are saved from it. I like Colossians 1, 21 and 22. And you that were sometimes alienated and enemies in your mind. Do you get that? And you that were sometimes alienated and enemies in your mind. What he's saying there is, your actions may not have proved that you were an enemy, but in your mind, you were an enemy. In your thinking, in the way you did, you were an enemy to God. You hated God. By wicked works, it said, not yet now has he reconciled in the body of his flesh through death to present you holy and unblameable and unreprovable in his sight. Praise his name. One time, my mind was wicked. One time, my actions were wicked. But praise be to God that somebody talked to me and somebody told me, Dave, you're headed down the wrong path. You need to get on the right path and that you're not doing what God wants. And I accepted it and I got saved. Salvation, free, and free to every human being. Every one of us who are born again, we are saved from hating God. You realize that? Whenever God saves you, He pulls you out of those ranks and He sets your feet on a solid rock, on another foundation, and on a different path, however you want to say it. But you are pulled from that. Thank God this morning. This is not just about the nation. This is about us as individuals. Romans 10:9 is personal. If you declare with your mouth, I cannot declare for my son. Amen? I cannot declare for my wife. If you declare with your mouth, Jesus is Lord, and get this, believe in your heart. I can believe Jesus is my Savior, and it ain't going to do you a bit of good unless you believe. And that belief is not just a simple mind belief. You do understand that this morning, don't you? That is a heartfelt belief. In your heart that God raised him from the dead, it says what? You will be saved. Amen. Amen. It's personal. It's one-on-one. You see, when God saved us, He pulled us out from amongst the world. He pulled us out from amongst all the haters. We were one of them. He pulled us out from amongst that and put us in a different way. But God commended His love toward us in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. Isn't that awesome? While we were yet haters. This is something that I guess we all have this thing that we can't comprehend. But Mark, when I hated God, when I didn't want anything to do with Him, He still loved me. He still made a way for me. And in our human mind, we can't think of that. We think if somebody doesn't like us, we don't want nothing to do with them either. But that's not God. Even though we hate Him, even though we despise Him, God still wants us to be part of Him, wants us to have Him in us. And I thought, man, love, isn't that just awesome to think of that? Salvation is a change of heart and of mind, and our actions will follow. Amen? Absolutely. 2 Corinthians 5:17, therefore, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things become new. You see the word there? It says all things become new. Yeah, I understand. We grow. I'm not up here saying we don't grow. There's things we grow into. But I'm here to tell you, eventually all things become new. All things. Has this happened in your life this morning? I got to ask, and as a preacher, as someone that God has laid charge to this little church and to whoever's listening here this morning, has that happened in your life? Has things changed? 1 John 3:14, we know that we have passed from death unto life because we have love for the brethren. He that loveth not his brother does what? Abideth in death. Man, that's pretty blunt. I know these scriptures are blunt, but tell me that they're the truth. Has this happened? Can you truly say that has happened in your life this morning? Can I tell you something this morning? If you haven't, you will continue down that path of hate if it hadn't changed your life. You can blame God, but look at what God says. Psalms 2, 4, and 6, he that setteth in the heavens shall laugh. The Lord shall have them in diversions. Then shall he speak unto them in his wrath and vex them in his sore displeasure. God's not threatened. God's not threatened by your rage. Did you know that? God is not threatened. As a matter of fact, God finds it hilarious if you want to look at what the word means. We can stand down here as a nation, as a world, as an individual. We can shake our puny fist at God and we can try to blame him and we can try to do all we want, and God's sitting up there looking down on us and he thinks it's hilarious and funny that you think that you can do anything about it. Proverbs says it best, Proverbs 1, 24 through 31. But since you refuse, this is again a different translation than King James, so bear with me on this. I like this translation of it. But since you refuse to listen when I call and no one pays attention when I stretch out my hand, since you disregard all my advice and do not accept my rebuke, I in turn will laugh when disaster strikes you. I will mock you when calamity overtakes you. When calamity overtakes you like a storm, when disaster sweeps over you like a whirlwind, when distress and trouble overwhelm you, when they will call to me, but I will not answer, they will look for me, but they will not find me. Since they hated knowledge and did not choose to fear the Lord, since they would not accept my advice and spurn my rebuke, they will eat the fruit of their ways and be filled with the fruit of their schemes. Proverbs 1, 30, 24 through 31. Doesn't that just lay it out there pretty blunt? Doesn't it? Job 41, 1 through 10. If you go over there and read, I'm not going to read all the scripture, but Job is talking about the Leviathan. And what he's using it as an example, God's talking to Job about it. He said, Job, this is a huge sea creature, Leviathan. That's what it was. I don't think it was a whale. I'm just going to be blunt out there. It was something more than that. And it said, these guys that go out and they try to hunt it, God's telling Job, they try to put a spear in it, they try to put a hook in it, whatever they may do. He said, in verse 10, it says, none is so fierce that dare stir him up. Who then is able to stand against me? God said, listen, you can't handle this huge creature, and yet you think, just talking to Job, that anybody can handle me. It doesn't happen that way, folks. It doesn't happen that way. To those who would dare hunt that animal, he told Job, you can't. You can't hold your own against this massive creature. How do you expect to stand up to me? And there are people out there today that will do that. They'll shake their fist at God. They'll live that way till they die and go to their graves and think that they, I showed God. And when it's all said and done, they will stand before a righteous and a just God one of these days. And let me tell you something, they think they're going to talk, they're not going to say a word. They're going to be on their knees, the books will be open, and he will tell them everything they ever done in their life. Every time they didn't accept him as his son, as their savior, every time, they will not be able to answer a word. We say, well, that's unfair. No, God had given them every chance. Job, there's no way, no way. Folks, God is not threatened by any nation. God is not threatened by any individual. He's not. They can summon everything that they want to summon. Every weapon that they got. My Bible tells me that there's no weapon formed that will prosper against one of his elect. Am I right? So what do you think it's going to do against God? Absolutely nothing. Psalms 2:5. And also, God isn't just laughing. Listen to what else he does. Then shall he speak unto them in his wrath and vex them in sore displeasure. You know what vex means? It says make them feel annoyed, make them feel frustrated, worried, especially over trivial matters. Have you ever seen people any more worried, any more frustrated out here in this world than they are today? They are. And God's saying right here, and he shall vex them and sore displeasure. God's looking down on this world, and this world's raging against him, and he's allowing them to be annoyed. He's allowing them to be frustrated. He's allowing them to do what happened, whatever happens to them, and they think that they're having their way with God. Absolutely not. Absolutely not. God's having his way. He's having his way. And I think, I look at this and I say, man, isn't that the truth? Go ahead, do what you will. Do what you want. He's looking down. Do what you want. It isn't going to do any good. I'll just laugh. I'll just laugh. And guess what? Outside of repentance, nothing is going to help. God has done, he's made a way of reconciliation. He said, yet, the last part of chapter 2 there, or Psalms 2, yet have I set my king upon my holy hill of Zion. You know what he's talking about? This is Jesus here. He's talking about the Messiah now. This is where the prophetic part comes in it. I will declare the decree the Lord has said unto me, thou art my son, this day have I begotten thee. Ask of me, and I shall give thee the heathen for thy inheritance, and the uttermost parts of the earth for thy possessions. Thou shalt break them with a rod of iron. Thou shalt dash them to pieces like potter's vessels. Be wise now, therefore, O kings, be instructed, ye judges of the earth. Serve the Lord with fear and rejoice with trembling, and kiss the Son, lest ye be angry, and ye perish from the way when his wrath is kindled but a little. Can I tell you something about sin? I thought about this. You know, David's sin that David committed with Bathsheba is out there for eternity, right? Because, I mean, people to read it. I mean, we talk about it now, what it's been, how many thousands of years ago, and we're talking about it. But David understood this. God is able to forgive. I don't know how bad you think your sins are here this morning or how bad of a person you think you are. God is able to save to the uttermost. Amen. Amen. People won't forget, and maybe you won't forget in your lifetime. Psalms 5:11, this is David talking down a little bit. Have mercy upon me, O God, according to thy loving kindness, according unto the multitude of thy tender mercies, blot out my transgressions. Wash me thoroughly with mine iniquities and cleanse me from my sin. For I acknowledge my transgressions and my sin is ever before me. Against thee only have I sinned, done this evil in thy sight, that thou mightest be justified when thou speakest and be clear when thou judgest. Behold, I was shapen in iniquity, and in sin did my mother conceive me. Behold, thou desirest truth in the inward parts, and in the hidden parts thou shalt make me to know wisdom. Purge me with thy hyssop, and I shall be clean. Wash me, and I shall be whiter than snow. Make me to hear joy and gladness. Has the bones which thou hast broken may rejoice. Hide thy face from my sin. Blot out all my iniquities. Create in me a clean heart, O God, and renew a right spirit within me. Cast me not away from thy presence. Take not thy Holy Spirit from me. Restore unto me the joy of thy salvation and uphold me with thy free spirit. Then will I teach transgressors thy ways, and sinners shall be converted unto thee. That's what God can do. That's what he has done. That's what he continues to do to this day. I don't know. If you're lost here this morning, you're a hater of God. And you may not think it. You may not understand that. But you are a hater of God. And the only way to get that corrected is, Lord, create in me a new heart. Blot out those iniquities. Make it all new inside. And I'm here to tell you, God can do that this morning. Amen. Wouldn't that be an awesome Valentine's Day gift? That'd be an awesome Valentine's gift for your spouse. That'd be an awesome Valentine's Day's gift for your boyfriend or girlfriend. That would be an awesome Valentine's gift to yourself. Would it not? Praise His name this morning. Praise His name. Do we have an overhead we can play this morning? If you would, let's all stand. If you have a need this morning, please come.